Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, some of the guests that we have on the Paracast start with a video feed, because a lot of these shows do video as well. And that's fine, except I don't do video, seriously. I don't want people to see what I look like. I mean, you do see me on Facebook or something, but we don't want to frighten everybody. You know, our guests all look pretty normal. Tim Swartz looks more or less normal. Although when I look at his picture, I'm not sure which one is him. Or he. Which one is he?
It's both of us. It's a symbiotic relationship, Gene.
Okay, so that is your Gottlob.
That's right, yes.
Now, Amanda Paulson, being a younger person, you don't know what a Gottlob is, do you?
I do not, no.
Okay, TV show Stargate SG-1, the parasite that took over people. That's what they were called.
Oh, I did not know that.
It's funny, though. A friend of mine, Gil, is going to have me on one of his radio shows in the near future. And he said, okay, you have a good camera with that? And I said, yes, I do, but you're going to run the avatar. And if you really need to have the avatar present an interesting point of view, have it animated. So he's looking into an animated avatar for me.
Then I'd watch just to see that part, too.
What we could do also is we could do a new version of Nightmare on Elm Street or something. Do either of you watch the TV show Stranger Things?
Yes.
Oh, sure.
They've got some pretty wicked-looking critters over there.
Yep, you could go as Vecna.
Amanda, the biggest question we always ask people involved in this kind of research, where did you get your start?
So I started traditionally ghost hunting on a team in 2008. I was 18 then, but really I got my start in my interest in the paranormal when I was about 7 years old, when I had my first paranormal experience. Yeah, I've been interested in the paranormal basically as long as I can remember, but really got into it and into the research part of it in 2008.
You had an experience. We must all know about the experience. What can you tell us?
Of course. So when I was about 7 years old, my family and I moved from California to Montana, which is where I grew up. And in our duplex that we lived in, I call it the haunted duplex, I was very young and wasn't really subjected to much paranormal TV yet. So I didn't really have any reason to believe it was haunted, but I remember coming in there and thinking immediately that we weren't alone, like there was something else in there. And then one time I was coloring in my bedroom, and I had my head facing the door, so the rest of my body, my back was to my bedroom, and I was coloring, laying on the floor, and I heard this glass vase that was sitting on top of my wooden dresser. I heard it move from one end of the dresser to the other end of the dresser. And, of course, that terrified me. So I made my mom switch me rooms, and it didn't really stop any of the paranormal activity. I remember thinking that I was seeing my dolls move in the corner of my bedroom at night. I would have terrible nightmares. And basically that was like the catalyst experience to a lifetime of experiencing paranormal activity, which later I started to believe maybe it wasn't that the duplex was haunted necessarily, but that I was sensitive to anything, anywhere, kind of, because the activity would happen anywhere else I lived thereafter. So, but that is my first paranormal experience, is in the haunted duplex with the moving vase.
Tell me more about this house. Was it an old place or what?
It wasn't really that old. So this would have been in the early 90s when I was living there. And I want to say it was maybe built in the 80s. It wasn't old at all. It was like one level, but with a basement. It was crappy. Like, it wasn't in like the greatest part of town. There was nothing really special about it. I do remember it had a mailbox that was shaped like a cow. The last owners had made the mailbox into like with wood and painted it to make it look like a cow for some reason. But there was nothing about this house that was like traditionally, it wasn't like the house, the Haunting of Hill House. Like it wasn't like this extravagant haunted house. It was just like this really basic, 70s or 80s duplex.
By the way, we are just getting word, and of course you'll be hearing the show, ladies and gentlemen, a week later, that Uhura, Nichelle Nichols, is dead at the age of 89. One of the original Star Trek actresses. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
There was a moment of silence.
She deserved it.
Yes, definitely.
I met her once. This is back in the 1970s. I was attending a Star Trek convention in Philadelphia. And we met James Doohan. I had Scotty imitate Scotty at age 70, not knowing that he'd be playing the role at age 70. I don't think he suspected that. And Nichelle Nichols. I actually have some photographs of her somewhere. So it's kind of sad because of the original cast. Who's left now? Shatner, Chekhov.
Walter Koenig.
Walter Koenig is there. George Takei. Let's get back to Amanda's story here. Living in this house that's haunted. At what point did you, and why did you make the decision, you know, this is something I got to do?
Like, as far as investigating it goes, in 2008, I had just experienced, like, a whole lifetime of ghostly encounters that I didn't quite understand. I also was raised pretty religious, and I was raised in the church, and no one really helped me kind of explore why I was experiencing these things when the people around me were not. So I kind of wanted to start digging deeper into it and understanding it a little bit better for myself and how it relates to my own upbringing and like a lot of things about my lived life. And so I just Googled like local teams in Billings, Montana in 2008, and I found one and interviewed for it and joined it, and that was that. And I did the team thing for a while. Then I moved to Spokane, Washington, which is where I'm based out of now, and I gave it a break for a little bit. I wasn't investigating it as much. And then about 3.5 years ago, I started investigating it again after I lost my grandpa, and started having a whole slew of activity happening for myself again. So it kind of, what makes me want to get into it more seems to be a recurring theme of, you know, things happening in my life to make the activity have an uptick of activity, and then my curiosity peaks again, and then I start exploring it. But now I've been about 3.5 years deep into doing it online and doing it much more seriously. And anyone who spends any time exploring the paranormal will know that it's like a rabbit hole once you get into it so deep, and you just keep going deeper. So, yeah, that's where I'm at now.
Do you have a day job?
I do, yeah. I work in finance. So very, very professional, regular day job.
So they don't know that in the deep of dark of night, you become a paranormal investigator.
They actually do know. I have a terrible time keeping anything a secret. I'm a very transparent person, so everyone at my job actually does know what I do, whether they like it or not. I tell everyone. I don't care at all.
We have Amanda Paulson with Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
Hey, trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
One of the young entrants in the world of the paranormal, Amanda Paulson, joining us with Gene and Tim. And we're learning about her background. But she starts out as a little girl with weird stuff going on in the home in which she lives. And this makes significant changes in her life. Tim, why don't you follow up?
Well, I'm curious. Did anyone else in your family
when you were living in this duplex have experiences, or did they just not talk about it?
My situation was kind of unique in that when I was living in this duplex and having these experiences, I was living with my mom, who was an addict, a drug addict at the time. So I wasn't, like, communicating with her at all that this stuff was going on. I was very much, like, independent at this time, even though I was so young. And so I don't know if she also experienced anything. I don't know if she would remember if she did. So I didn't have anyone to really, like, compare experiences with. Later on, as I got a little bit older and started being better about communicating it with family and stuff, sometimes family members would kind of be like, oh, yes, I experienced that too. But again, I was raised in the church. I was raised Baptist. And there's like a big kind of, you know, we don't want to get into that kind of stuff attitude around the paranormal. And I love my family, but yeah, they didn't want to talk about this stuff at all. So I was kind of on my own with it when I was young.
That can be rather traumatic when, you know, you're that young and having these kinds of experiences and, you know, really no one to talk about it with. I mean, talk about, you know, feeling alone in a situation. And like you said, the church has a tendency to, you know, as you said, you know, no, you know, we don't want to talk about this kind of stuff, but that doesn't stop the paranormal activity around you. It can care less. It'll go on no matter what the church believes.
Yeah, exactly. It did end up being very isolating, and it took me a really long time. Through my 20s, I kind of started, I guess, quote, healing that aspect of myself, but I'm still dealing with it today, and it's still, even though I'm very, I think almost in a way, going public online with my work in the paranormal has helped a lot. It forced me to start talking about my experiences more and start, I guess, speaking about the paranormal more definitively, because for a really long time, because of those isolating experiences when I was a child, I was afraid to talk about the paranormal even later on in a definitive way. Like, I was afraid to say, yes, I do believe in ghosts. Yes, I do think this was a ghost. Like, I've always been very, like, in the middle and say, I don't know what it is. It could be anything. And now, finally, with my work online, I've gained more confidence to say, no, I do believe that this is whatever, Sasquatch. I do believe this is a ghost. I can start kind of weeding through and, like, finding more confidence in myself to project my beliefs to other people. But, yeah, it was very isolating as a kid. But
when Jean asked earlier if people you work with, you know about your activities, and, you know, you said that they do. I mean, it always surprises me. And at this point, it shouldn't. Really, how many people out there are interested in this kind of stuff but won't talk about it until they find out that, you know, you're involved? And then it's like the floodgates open. I mean, oh, boy, you get to hear all kinds of great stories that, you know, maybe nobody else has ever heard before.
Absolutely. That's been a great blessing of having an online presence and kind of being almost in a way a leader, at least for my local community, being somebody who's, I'm putting myself forward and being like, it's okay to have these experiences and to believe in this stuff. And I'm going to talk about it and I'm going to be transparent about it and confident. And then it kind of leads the others to open up to it. So when I meet people, they feel comfortable telling me their stories. And yes, but everyone has a story. It's crazy. And I don't know if it, sometimes you can tell people are really searching for something to relate to, but most of the time people have genuine stories that they are very excited to share that they felt like they couldn't share otherwise. So yeah, it's been really nice. The people I work with are great about it and really accepting. So, yeah, I'm really grateful.
When you first joined the group, this probably was around the time when, you know, all the ghost reality shows really starting to come out and get a lot of attention. Was the group that you were involved with, I mean, were they trying to emulate these shows? I mean, you know, have as much equipment as they can afford and go to these houses and be yelling at the ghosts, trying to, invoke, a reaction, things like that?
To a degree, I can definitely look back and see the influence that the leaders of my ghost hunting team, they were definitely influenced by early Ghost Hunters television, not so much the more aggressive approach of that time, but definitely with, like, the pseudoscience approach and, like, lots of equipment and my team at the time was very into like leading very organized like residential investigations, which now I don't do so much. And I don't think really anybody really does much of that as much anymore. Yeah, there was a lot of inspiration from paranormal TV at that time. Yeah, I think that's fair to say, especially with all of the equipment and stuff. Now, as I've done it on my own for a while, I've moved into doing it in my own way with just some inspiration from other sources, but not so much from paranormal TV. But yeah, my beginning was very traditional ghost hunter, very ghost hunters-esque, like television type of approach.
When you say residential, do you mean like, you know, people would call the group up and say, oh, my house is haunted. Can you come and, you know, catch the ghosts and get rid of them for me, that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's exactly. That's where we started, for sure. And again, I don't do that now. I specifically talk online very clearly about how I will not, like, clear houses or exercise ghosts or anything like that. I'm not out here to try to like resolve anything for the afterlife or for ghosts. But back then, yes, that's what we were doing. We were being called out to people's actual homes to investigate claims of activity, and then we're expected to try to get it to leave somehow. But later on, I just don't really resonate with that anymore. But yeah.
Well, it's always with those kinds of situations. It's like, you know, good luck with that. Some of these people have watched too many movies or television shows when they think that they can go and burn some sage or put salt, you know, in all the corners of the house and command the ghosts to leave. That, you know, it's going to happen, and it may appear to be the case, you know, for a few weeks or so, but you know, I think generally the activity, you know, pops back up again. And
yeah.
Well, and like, I want my money back, you know.
Yeah. And I don't even know now. I don't even know that I so much believe that activity is so cut and dry anymore. So it's like I couldn't do that to somebody, say, yes, I'll get these ghosts to leave, if I don't even believe that they're really ghosts in the first place. I've developed a much like more fringe kind of belief system for myself that, like, I also just, I don't know, I'm not bringing anyone else's ghosts into it. They can figure that out on their own.
we had a guest on our show. It's been a while that he has, he lived in now become a very famous haunted place in the state of Washington.
With Amanda, Gene, and Tim, you're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
In the 1800s, there were 160 spas set up in Europe to dispense fresh liquid whey. The sick would recover their health and the aged would become rejuvenated. There's only one whey protein powder on the market that can generate and surpass the results seen in the whey spas in Europe. But first, let me tell you the story of 90-year-old Mary, who was semi-bedridden and in hospice care. Mary had been consuming only a pea protein and pasteurized milk drink. Then Mary was put on to Green Meadow Whey mixed with raw milk. She was given 2 to 3 whey drinks per day. On the very first day, Mary was up and came into the kitchen and made chicken soup. She was on her feet for many hours. 3 days later, Mary had gained 2.5 pounds of healthy weight. Green Meadow Whey is health giving to both young and old. Green Meadow Whey is guaranteed to make you feel better, stronger, reduce your inflammation, and eliminate virtually all toxins from your body without feeling sick. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net, or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
The Inflation Reduction Act is moving forward in Washington despite Republican attempts to derail the progress. So says Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
This is a major win for the American people and a sad commentary on the Republican Party as they actively fight provisions that lower costs for the American family.
Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says Democrats aren't reading the room correctly.
Amazingly, Senate Democrats are misreading the American people's outrage as a mandate for yet another reckless taxing and spending spree.
The bill is moving forward without language allowing hefty fines on drug makers that boost prices beyond inflation in the private insurance market. The Senate parliamentarian ruled that had to go. Warren Buffett's company reported a near $44 billion loss in the second quarter, but Berkshire Hathaway's many operating companies generally performed well. USA Radio News. Indiana became the first state in the post-Roe world to pass a near-total ban on abortion. Come September 15th, the procedure will only be allowed in cases of rape, incest, lethal fetal abnormality, or when the procedure is necessary to prevent severe health risk or death. Republican Governor Eric Holcomb signed the bill shortly after passage. It was a bitter debate, even among Republicans, some of whom did not support the proposal. One of the Hoosier State's largest employers says that the new law will hinder its ability to attract talent. Eli Lilly, which employs well above 10,000 employees at its base in Indianapolis, said in a statement that the new law will force them to plan for more employment growth outside of its home state. President Biden has tested negative for COVID-19 one week after testing positive with a rebound case, but he will remain in isolation out of an abundance of caution until he tests negative for a second time. You are listening to USA Radio News.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
As we ended the segment, Tim Schwartz was going to bring up something about a person he knew who lived in a haunted house.
It's the Bothell Hell House in the previous owner on the show, and he talked about how, you know, early on, I mean, he solicited, you know, opinions and help from, you know, all kinds of different people for a number, you know, quite a while with all kinds of different suggestions. And one of the things that stood out to me, and I always found it kind of humorous, is that somebody had told him that, you know, the spirits don't like music. So they told him to turn the radio on before they'd leave to work to annoy the ghosts to make them leave. Well, he said that, he did that, and when he left, he could hear the radio playing from outside, and then all of a sudden he could hear the channel being changed to a different station. So, yeah, that worked really well.
You know something, guys? That reminds me of a scene I saw in one of the Stranger Things episodes where this girl was being attacked by this horrible creature, and I can't keep up with all the nonsense. She is saved by someone playing her favorite song.
Yeah, saved by Kate Bush, a song by Kate Bush, Running Up the Hill. I'd have to bring my daughter in. She could probably remember what the explanation was, but everybody, you know, would use music as a form of protection from Vecna, but I can't remember why. But yeah, and it doesn't quite work that way in real life. As the Bothell Hill House guy found out that all of the
things that you read about online or see on television as ways to exorcise the spirits or ghost bust them, you know, from putting up crosses or putting out Bibles or holy water and stuff, generally just tends to annoy them.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, I mean, a lot of these investigators, you know, they find this out. And but if they have a television show, everything has to be resolved to some sort of satisfaction by the end of the show. You know, and it doesn't quite work that way in real life. So, Amanda, what made you decide then to go out on your own rather than being part of a group?
That was, I would say, more so just circumstance. Mm-hmm. I tried to find a team in Spokane a few times, where I'm living now. And just for how I felt and believed about the paranormal, I couldn't find anyone that I really resonated with. So, and I am not willing to not do something just to wait for somebody else to do it. So I was like, I'm going to do it alone. And then it's worked well since. And again, I'm very lucky to have a lot of support through friends and other paranormal people online. So then I can go travel and meet them and investigate with them as well. So it's really not like I'm entirely alone all the time. I can travel and investigate with other people, which I love, but primarily it leaves me alone to do my own research and to do local cases on my own. And now I quite enjoy that. So it's been nice.
When you said in the previous segment that you've since kind of developed some, as you said, unique ideas on what's going on, what you could be, or what we all could be dealing with. Do you care to maybe elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah. So, and it's ever changing too.
Sure.
As I come across different phenomena or, you know, different experiences, then it shifts and changes too. But more lately, I've always just kind of had a feeling that the living has a lot to do with paranormal phenomena, in that we can often affect paranormal activity, like depending on, you know, where somebody is at mentally or their own traumas and lived experiences or even their own intent. When you see, you know, mention of like egregores and how that plays into different famous haunted locations. I'm very keen on the idea that the living has a lot to do with the paranormal, more, leaning on the side of like parapsychology and like that relation to ghost hunting more than just viewing like haunted houses and paranormal activity as solely the dead person hypothesis, you know, that it's just a dead person that needs to move on, that's stuck, it has some kind of unfinished business. I'm not as keen on that as I am on how the living affects the paranormal phenomena. So that's kind of where my beliefs lie. And then also with that comes a belief that all phenomena, so UFO, cryptid, like all sorts of stuff, I think is very connected. And so I've leaned away from just solely focusing on my investigation and research into ghosts, and I've included a lot more exploration into the other weirder stuff to try to kind of bring it all in. And I'm not an academic type. I'm not, I'm still learning, but I'm not super well educated. So it's been a slow process, but I'm trying also to kind of bridge the gap between academic occultists and ghost hunters and, you know, cryptid people and ufologists and stuff. So, and I just want to see as much and experience as much as possible. So my beliefs have shifted to kind of include everything and all possibilities.
Why do you think that ghosts, Bigfoot, UFOs are related?
Because I believe that how our human, like, living perception, I believe, affects paranormal activity, then I believe that, for instance, and I know you mentioned that you listened to the podcast that I was on about the UFO stories that are very similar to ghost stories.
Yes.
But, you know, I think that it's hard to ignore that just because one person lived a certain way, they might perceive a floating light or some kind of anomaly as a UFO, and another person looking at it who had a different lived experience will perceive it as a ghost. I think that in some way then we have control over what that ends up manifesting into, and that is therefore why I think it's all connected, because I think it all depends on how humans, like how the living perceives it or how we project it from ourselves. But that is still in the works. I'm still kind of learning my way through how to best talk about that, because it's such a big, it's a really big topic. And it also kind of puts me in a place that's different from more traditional ghost hunters or paranormal investigators. And I don't want to separate myself necessarily, because there are instances where I still think places are haunted, or maybe we come across a traditional ghost. But yeah, I'm just trying to, I don't know, get people thinking outside of the box a little bit and get looking at all the similarities in everyone's paranormal experiences.
Because of the crazy nature of the online world, do you sometimes run situations where people are trying to pull the wool over your eyes, just make up stuff?
Well, I definitely think that there's a lot of people online just making stuff up. there's no doubt about that. And it's hard because on one hand, not everyone making content online about the paranormal has the same level of integrity, or I can't hold them to that same level of integrity as some of the rest of us who feel very passionately about it, that it's like our life mission, you know. Some people just think it's fun and they want to be scared and they want to make entertaining content about it, and I don't necessarily fault them, but I find that to be separate of what some other people are doing, which is the more, heavy-handed research side of it.
I'm going to break it here. We've got more to come with Amanda, Jean, and Tim. You're in.
In the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get cloudy. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, Amanda Paulson joining us on the Paracast, one of the younger researchers, and she was completing her response to that question I asked about people pulling the wool over your eyes. I mean, the online world can be just so freaky there. Where people who could just be anonymous make up stuff and then they spread silly rumors, and don't get me started. Amanda?
Yes. Yeah.
I wanted you to continue on what you were talking about in the previous segment, unless you're done with it.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I agree. There are a lot of people out there who are fabricating paranormal experiences. Absolutely. What I have to say about that, I don't know. I feel indifferent, I guess. I just, to the people out there who are truly just absolutely fabricating everything, I find them to be an indifferent, they're not even on my radar, if that makes sense. They're just in a different, they're doing their own thing. I don't consider them to be like influential parts of the paranormal community or the field now. So, yeah, I mean, it's happening, yes. What to do about it, I don't know. Ignore it, I guess. I'm not sure.
I know it always used to annoy my friend, the late Tim Beckley, with our shows when we would, have really good guests, good conversations, and then, you know, he'd put them on his YouTube channel. And it would annoy him that somebody who had a site that obviously was putting up stuff that was, spurious, just to be kind. Downright fraud, okay. Fraudulent stuff that, you know, we're getting thousands of hits. And he did, of course, you know, old generation, he just couldn't understand, you know, why stuff like that, you know, was so popular as opposed to, actual experts and good stories and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure it's even different now with the push towards really short videos as well, short form videos with things like TikTok and Instagram Reels and people. And just with the way that society has moved forward with technology, too, our attention spans are a little shorter. We want to be entertained now. We want things. I don't know. Yeah, it makes sense to me why it happens. But I do my best to not partake in anything that would ever be, I definitely don't post anything that would be fabricated. But even myself, like, posting online, there's this element of, like, people will completely ignore you if you don't at least start it off with, this crazy thing happened, you know, make something bigger than it really is, you know? And now I'm actually kind of backtracking in my approach online, where I'm trying to have more deep conversation and be even more transparent about paranormal activity and reminding people, you know, this is not how these experiences typically happen. They're not all, like, they're not so crazy. It's not like a movie, you know, like it's much more nuanced and, but I don't know. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason I don't have a million followers. I don't fabricate.
Well, a lot of people are attracted by that clickbait type of opening, you know.
Yeah.
You know, 30 of my most frightening ghost experiences. The fifth one will leave you shocked.
Yeah, exactly. Why Stranger Things presents a reality that we'll never comprehend. I just made that up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, we can produce this after the show. We'll get together. The problem is then if we say that, the producers of Stranger mm-hmm. Things and Netflix will sue the life out of us.
Yeah, not like they're going to get much.
I have a quarter in my pocket. They can have that.
There you go. I wanted to backtrack just a little bit, though, Amanda, on something that you were saying earlier about the human element, you know, involved possibly with the paranormal. And it was something that we had kind of brought up in an earlier show. And it's almost like when it comes to paranormal activity, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and there's nobody around to hear it, does it make a noise? Well, does paranormal activity occur when there's nobody around to experience? You talk about haunted houses. If there's nobody there to see it, I mean, are there doors shutting on their own? Is stuff moving around? I mean, yeah, you know, you can put up a camera and then leave, but that still has that human presence involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I personally don't believe that. I believe that living humans are a necessary component to manifestations of paranormal things, paranormal mm-hmm. phenomena. Like, I believe one has to be present for the other to exist. So, yeah. But some people don't believe that, but that's okay.
You know, that also harks back. I mean, and this was a theory that, oh my gosh, I mean, they were talking about this in the late 19th, early 20th century, that paranormal activity requires energy from people in order to manifest, that without that, you know, human battery, so to speak, that human conductor, that it wouldn't work. It wouldn't take place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and especially if you have people who have natural psychic abilities, you know, like, probably like yourself. I mean, as a kid, if you were experiencing paranormal activity, you know, you probably have natural psychic abilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe a lot of people do and just don't. They either lose it over time or don't lean into it. I feel like everyone probably has natural psychic abilities, but that it needs to be exercised or maybe, I don't know, learned. But it's there. I think it's there in everyone. But yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think a lot of kids and a lot of families, if they show that kind of ability early on, depending on the type of family, it's generally beaten out of them. And I don't mean physically. I don't think so. But you know what I mean. I mean, it's like, you know, stop acting like that. You know, people will think you're weird. And so it just gets suppressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, now, you just recently came back from a trip to Europe. Was it, I know, Great Britain. Did you go anyplace else?
So I went to England, France, and Spain.
Hmm. In England, you got to visit Stonehenge.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these other locations. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. I got to visit Stonehenge. The same day we went and visited Avebury, which is another ancient stone circle. And then later on, I visited the Tower of Hercules, which is the oldest lighthouse in the world in Spain. And then we also visited the Paris Catacombs in France and then various other locations. But those were the big highlights. So I went actually with a company called Strange Escapes, which is ran by Amy Bruni, the paranormal investigator, Amy Bruni. And there were some other paranormal people on the trip as well, so it was super fun.
Okay, yeah, I know that trip that you were that you're talking about. That's one that I kept reading. It's like, oh, I'd like to do that.
Yeah, it was very cool. It was cool to see so much in such a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm. So, was there any attempts to do any kind of investigations while you were there, or was it just purely, oh, look at that, it's cool?
Time did not allow for any investigations to happen. I know that some people did some experiments. We were on a cruise, and some people did some experiments on the cruise. I tried to do like a quick EVP session in the catacombs. I had about 2 minutes where I was out of earshot of anyone else. I ran ahead of the people that I was with, and then I was so far behind the people ahead of me that I had a blip where I was alone down there. Tried to do some EVP stuff, but I mean, that was really it. It really didn't end up being so much about paranormal investigating as much as it was just seeing the things. But Stonehenge, and that day, Stonehenge and Avebury, was very much more a spiritual experience, I feel, than paranormal, which was great. But I'd love to go back to the to Europe and do like actual investigating, hopefully one day.
Well, Avebury especially.
We'll continue looking for these sites with Tim, Jean, and Amanda. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.